It's always a joy to be able to express to others what God has done in our hearts. And once again this past week, as I had opportunity to share the gospel and what God has done in my heart, just a real joy to review and be reminded ourselves of God's marvelous workings. And Norm and I have sometimes expressed it as, you know, God's cornering us. We were running, but not the right direction. God's marvelous grace and mercy, and bringing us to Himself, making us new creatures in Him. His work of grace in our hearts. What a joy. And reminding ourselves that although that is a time of new life received, it's a time of beginning of new life. That's exactly what it is. It's a beginning. It's just the beginning. And next follows the new life to be lived. And we see this in the book of Ephesians, in our study of Ephesians, in chapters 1 through 3. The glorious truths of salvation in Jesus Christ. My, what glorious chapters those are. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. What a blessing. But following are verses, are chapters 4, 5, and 6. In other words, what's next? After 1, 2, and 3, what's next? Well, 4, 5, and 6 are next. Ephesians chapter 4, we've been studying. We came to verse 20 in our study, where Paul talks about learning Christ. And he says, you heard Him and you've been taught by Him. And the question is, well, then what's next? And this is what we see in these following verses. And we'd like to turn to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. And we'd like to read verses 20 through 28. Ephesians 4, 20 through 28. But you have not so learned Christ. Paul had been talking there about the conduct of the ungodly, their conduct as Gentiles before knowing Christ. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him, have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would this morning speak to our hearts. Teach us, we pray, and encourage us as we desire to, by your grace, express that new life that you have placed within us by your mercy through our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Changing your lifestyle. We see in this portion of Scripture this morning several things. First of all, we want to stress the fact that in this portion we do see life received. Life received. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, and the marvelous ministry of God in our hearts and lives. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, and what He means there is, this is very important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My, what a glorious truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, how important this is. Hearing his word, receiving from him that newness of life and that freedom from sin and condemnation. You have heard him, says Paul, and have been taught by Him. And came to that place where you knew that you were lost and that you needed Him. You came to that place where you knew that He could save you and you trusted Him. You came to that place where you knew that He was holy and you followed Him, desiring to be like Him. And it's His life in us that causes us to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And that's a natural thing for a newborn babe to desire the milk. But Peter says, don't frustrate that desire. In other words, fulfill it. You have the desire, but fulfill it. And drink that milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. You'll become a possessor of divine life in the soul. But now what? Well, use that which has been given to you. You heard Him. You were taught by Him. Paul says, now then, what next? Well, next you put off the old man and you put on the new man. And so there is life received. And then following that, there is lifestyle that is changed. And Paul says, you put off the old man, you put on the new man. So there is chapters 1 through 3 with a glorious truths of salvation, of life received, and then chapters 4 through 6, the glorious truths of application is life lived, living the life you were given. We see this all through the Scriptures, because if we don't catch this balance, we end up with a half a gospel. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My, what important truths of the gospel. It's the gift of God. You didn't work for it, earn it, desire it, or merit it. The gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. There's not going to be a single person in heaven that's going to be able to say, well, made it. I tried a little harder than the rest of them and I got here. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then what's verse 10 say? For we are His workmanship. In other words, He did it. We didn't do it by our own bootstraps. We didn't get here by our own efforts. We didn't make it ourselves. He did it. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know, God created us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, there's no doubt as to whose marvelous work salvation is. There's no doubt there. But let's keep reading. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, there's the other half of the gospel. Created in Christ Jesus, what for? Unto good works. Not by good works, but unto good works. That we should walk in them. We heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning, you've got to walk. Walk is progression. Walk means you haven't gotten there. Walk means you're going towards it. That we might walk in them. And so that is living the life you've been given. Titus chapter 3. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. No doubt, the nature, the work of God. But you have to get the whole gospel here. Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, God works it in, you work it out. Now, that doesn't mean we do anything really of ourselves in our own strength. You could never work out anything God didn't work in. But when He works it in, you've got to work it out. And so there's the whole gospel. And so although, you know, we don't have a due religion, we have a done religion. But those who have the done religion do. And that's the rest of the gospel. Those of us who have children are quite aware of the fact that owning a bar of soap doesn't mean that your kids are going to be clean. you have to make sure it gets behind the ears. And so also, receiving life is just the beginning. It's working out that which God has worked in. There's some men of the past that God has used to bless my soul, and we confess that there's nothing new, and that most of the things that are said nowadays have been said probably about every 100 years down through the centuries. And there are some men that God has used in special ways, I feel, to state the truth of God in such succinct ways. And one of them is Martin Lloyd-Jones. Lloyd-Jones was trained to be a physician, somewhat like Dr. DeHaan. He was a doctor, and God called him to doctor souls instead of bodies and used him in a marvelous way. And so also with Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was trained to be a physician, had a marvelous opportunity to enter into the royal service as a physician. And he turned it down, feeling that God was calling him to preach the gospel. And just has such a unique way of expressing the truth of God. And Lloyd-Jones says, "But surely comes the protest, you receive your sanctification as you receive your justification. You receive your justification by faith, and you must do the same in regard to the old man." But says Lloyd-Jones, that is where the fallacy comes in. The whole of the Christian life is a life of faith. But in sanctification, we have to work. To work out, to put off, to put on, as the Apostle tells us, in all these details which he gives us here. We start then by realizing that this is something we ourselves have to do. It is not done for us. We do not just wait passively or relax and expect it to be accomplished for us. Not at all. Put off. Stop doing certain things, says the Apostle. And I say again, what a tragedy it is that men and women should have thought that it was highly spiritual to deny this plain command and exhortation and teaching of Scripture. That other teaching, as I have often pointed out, really means that the second half of every New Testament epistle should never have been written at all. In the case before us, all the apostles should have said, either at the beginning of chapter 4 or in verse 17, is just this: in the light of this doctrine, all you have to do is let go, abide in Christ, all will be well, you will be delivered from all your problems. It's quite simple. Just like lifting up the blinds and letting the sun come in, no more to be done. That is all he need have said. But we notice that the New Testament writers give about half of their letters to detailed, practical instructions. They tell people what not to do. They tell them what to do. Clearly, these two teachings are quite incompatible. But the teaching of the Scripture is plainly put off. It is something that we ourselves have to do. Lifestyle must be changed. But the next thing we want to notice, how is lifestyle changed? Lifestyle is not changed, as Lloyd-Jones just mentioned here, just by learning Christ. Paul said, if indeed you've heard him, been taught by him. But then after that, he says, put off and put on. Lifestyle is not changed just by preaching Christ. Because to the same Ephesians that Paul had just finished preaching Christ for 3 chapters, he says to them, you put off. And the you there is emphatic. Now, in English, we have to use the you. But in Greek, it can be included right in the verb, or for emphasis, they can use an additional you outside of the verb. And that's what it is here. And so Paul is being emphatic, and he says then in verse 22, that you put off the old man. And so it is emphatic. And then throughout the rest of the chapter here, he specifically gives a list of things that they are to put off and that they are to put on. Now, the Puritans were masters at this, kind of preaching in which they would specifically and in detail apply the Scriptures. But the problem is, today we have many people who love the Puritan soteriology that totally ignore the Puritans' faithfulness in applying the Word of God to the daily life. The Puritans' doctrines of sanctification. And so preaching Christ and Christ's redemption is vital. But after that, Paul preached the rest of the gospel. He says, put off the old man, put on the new man. Lloyd-Jones says, may God give us honesty. May God open our eyes to the Scriptures. May God save us from bypassing the Scripture and eliminating whole sections of it in the interests of a theory. And so it's not simply by learning Christ. Secondly, it's not simply by praying. Now, we enjoy fellowship with God in prayer. Scripture says we are to pray about everything. We are to pray without ceasing. And so we would not in any way minimize the importance of prayer. But here, Paul does not tell them to pray about their former conduct. He says, if you have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, he doesn't say that you pray about putting off that old man. He says you put him off. Put off that old man. And he goes on and gets more specific and says, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying. He doesn't say, now pray about this habit of lying that you have. He says, stop doing it. He says, let him who stole steal no more. He doesn't say, let him who stole pray about that. He says, let him stop stealing. And so many times we hide behind prayer. Now, just like some people like to blame God for not giving them saving grace. You know, it's God's fault then. So also sometimes as Christians we blame God for our besetting sins. You know, he's not helping us like we think he ought to. And now we confess that it's true. Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. But if we've heard him, been taught by him, then he pours his power into us, and the Scriptures say, put off the old man. Put on the new man. In Chile, we had the man there who was a drunkard. Everything he earned went for wine. The Lord marvelously saved him. And he stopped drinking. He put off the old man. What a tremendous change in his life. Another man the Lord saved and came to me one day and he says, Senator Dyke, he says, I just can't stop smoking. Pray for me. I said, well, I do pray for you and intend to continue praying for you, but what are you doing about it? Do you have any on you right now? He says, yes. So we'll throw them away. He says, go buy yourself some chewing gum. You know, do something. Get rid of the temptation. And we'll keep praying, but let's not hide behind prayer and think that just because we're praying about it, that it's all right that we continue doing it. And so Paul says, Don't pray about putting off the old man. Just put them off. Not that you're going to put them off in your own strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But put them off. And so the Holy Spirit who indwells us as we come to know the Savior is in us. And this man put off that which he knew was displeasing to God. And so we have to be careful about hiding behind prayer. And so we don't change lifestyles by praying about something. We need to put off the old man. We need to put on the new man. But putting off the old man, putting on the new, means making no provision for the flesh. And this man couldn't keep on carrying that package along with him all the time and then keep praying that God would deliver him. And so it's making no provision for the flesh. This is what Paul says in Romans 13:14. He says, make no provision for the flesh that you might fulfill it in the lusts thereof. And so you don't make provision. You avoid the situation. And so this man, Carlos, just had to stop carrying him along with him. He had to get rid of him. And he had to buy some gum. I think he practically bought out the gum factory before he was done. But he got rid of it. He put it off. And he thanked God for his grace. It wasn't his own strength, but he still had to do it. He had to put it off. The same way with Pettis, the one who had the problem with liquor. How did he do that? All of a sudden he no longer drank. Well, he just didn't go to the bar anymore, and he ditched all of his old friends. And you have to use the life that God gave you. And he put off the old man. Job had the same situation. Job chapter 31. Job says he made a covenant with his eyes. He didn't just say, Lord, I pray that you'll help me now not to have all these bad thoughts. He made a covenant with his eyes. He said, I'm not going to look at all those things anymore. I'm going to stop the inflow. And so it isn't just a matter of sitting back and saying, I'm asking God to do it. Maybe someday he will. It's a matter of, God, without you I can do nothing, but your strength in me, your Holy Spirit dwelling in me, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. And I'm going to stop the inflow of that which I know is not pleasing to you. And today in our day we have a tremendous inflow. Newspapers, magazines, television, just bombardment from all sides. And there has to be a covenant with our eyes in these matters. And so we make no provision for the flesh. We don't feed the flesh. We don't feed that old man. Scripture says, mortify or put to death the old man. Well, how do you do that? You get yourself a revolver and you shoot him? Where are you going to shoot? You know? How do you kill the old man? Mortify means put him to death. You starve him to death. That's what you do. You starve him to death. Now, as long as you're feeding him, you can keep praying fervently day and night. And he's just going to get stronger and stronger. And so you mortify him. You put him to death by starving him. You make no provision. And so you sit down to a glorious feast of spiritual things, and the old man says, where's something for me? And he says, nothing for you. Well, I'll starve to death. That's the intention. You make no provision for him. You feed the spirit, that you might be strong in spirit, and you mortify the flesh by starving him. If you'll just permit me one more from Lloyd-Jones. The apostle goes further in 1 Corinthians 9:26-27, saying, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, or I keep my body under, and bring it into subjection. Lloyd-Jones says, at once comes the objection. And as I read that, I thought, objection? You mean he had people that objected? Oh, yeah, he had people that gave him all kinds of problems about what he was preaching. They didn't like what he was saying. And he says, at once comes the objection. This is legalism. That a man's doing something. This is falling back on works. Boy, Jones says, this is the apostle's teaching. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Make no provision for the flesh. And so the question this morning is, do you know Christ? Have you heard his voice? Have you been taught by him to flee from the wrath to come? Maybe you've heard a lot of preachers, but have you heard Christ? Have you been taught by him to flee from the wrath to come? Is he your Savior? He's a wonderful Savior. And so trust him. Throw aside all your rags of self-righteousness. Draw near to him to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you'll stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and you'll need nothing else. Nothing else but his glorious righteousness. But you aren't dead yet. And you still have some years to go in this life. And so in the meantime, if you've heard him, you belong to him. You're his. His Spirit dwells in you. You're totally accepted before the Father in his person. To you, the apostle says, put off the old man. Put on the new man. If you know him, before God you're perfect. But he says before man, you've got a lot of putting off to do and a lot of putting on to do. And so he says, starve the old man to death and feed that new man and give him room to glorify God the Father. To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given to us such a glorious salvation. We pray, should there be in our midst this morning those who are trusting in the filthy rags of their own righteousness, those who have that vain hope that they will be able to do something that would merit entrance into the presence of God. Oh God, that this very morning they would see the futility of any of their own works, the wickedness of even thinking that they would enter into the presence of a holy God with all the filth of their own doings. And that today, Father, they would cry out and find in Jesus Christ that fullness of forgiveness, that glorious cleansing of the soul, and that beautiful robe that is spotless with which we stand before the Father. Oh, may they in Christ this day find their all in all. Find that Jesus Christ has made to them all they need. All they need. And then, Father, as by your grace you implant in us that life, that divine nature, we pray that in that strength of that life that you give us, we would be obedient to the heavenly vision that vision of that new man, that by your grace we would put off that old man and put on the new man, that we'd let that old man starve to death, and that we would spend our time feeding that new life, that divine life that you've placed in our being through your grace by the sacrifice of your Son. And that day by day we would have the joy of seeing the fruit of that new life in our lives. We praise you, Father, for your goodness, and rejoice in all of your grace. Trust you that we might indeed walk worthy of the gospel unto which we've been called. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And number 189 in our hymnal reminds us that there is power in the blood. Wonderful, marvelous, glorious power in the blood of the Lamb to walk worthy of the gospel whereunto we've been called. Shall we stand and sing number 189?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's time. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, what's wider than snow? To sing, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Father, indeed, we would be free from our passion and pride. We thank you that there is wonderful power in the blood. We would indeed, Father, do service for Jesus, our King, we indeed would live daily His praises to sing. We thank You that there is wonderful power in the blood. Rejoice that Christ, who has come to dwell in us by faith, fills us with His power. And so we pray that by Your grace, with His strength that He pours into us, we might this week put off the old man, put on the new man. Fulfill the purposes that You have, Lord, in leaving us here on this earth. We thank You that we are ready. Each one here who is in Christ is ready. Ready to go and to be with the Lord, which is far better. But in the meantime, Lord, we pray that You would fulfill in us all of Your glorious salvation, the full redemption that we have in Christ. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.